Ellie, is there any glimmer of hope here with all of this, or are we all headed down the old doom and gloom road?
Well, you know, it is doom and gloom, and when you read the prophecies, and I'm only giving you the doom and gloom part, but there's a whole scenario that happens at the end. And of course, you know, if you want to get into that, it's from a religious paradigm, or it's from a Judeo-Christian paradigm, and it all has to do, you know, you talked about the Shroud of Turin. I really have to tune into that show, because I believe the Shroud of Turin is the calling card of the resurrection. I mean, it's almost proof that something has happened there 2,000 years ago, which defies modern physics, according to at least the research that I've done on it. It'd be interesting to see what Mr. Nickel has to say about
that's
it.
Next show.
Sure. Yeah, I'll be tuning in. But, you know, if, let's say, for the purposes of the conversation, let's say that it's true, and you remember that there were prophecies concerning the birth of this God-man and the death of this God-man.
Right.
And if it's true, then, you know, he kind of comes in with the cavalry and the white horse at the end of this thing, and history, as we know it, ceases. And he sets up like a theocracy in Jerusalem, which is really interesting. And there's a bunch of stuff that happens, which I find fascinating. Death stops. In other words, we don't die anymore. There's no sickness. There's no disease. No one's walking around with leukemia or cancer or diabetes. All that stuff seems to be, you know, gone. On the other hand, from what the prophecy tells me, too, that before that return or before that coming, that the earth really goes through some nasty stuff. So there's going to be a lot of cleanup to do, and things are going to be different than what they are now. How does it sync up? How does it work? I don't know. I'm only getting a picture, and that picture is when he comes back, evil as we know it. Let's say the stuff we talked about before that break, the things like Genghis Khan or Stalin's gulags or Pol Pot or Idi Amin and all that stuff, it ceases to exist. It ceases to exist. Something changes. Something really changes. And so that's my hope. I mean, to some people who look at that say, well, that's craziness. I mean, but what am I going to put my hope in? You know, the European Union, the American dollar, the NAFTA highway or whatever. I mean, it's like, I mean, what else as a human being do I have to put my hope in? Some people would say, well, you know, the space brothers, when they come, maybe they'll set things right because they genetically manipulated us. Of course, I believe that's the alien gospel, and that's part of a Luciferian conspiracy. So I'm unfortunately, or fortunately, the case may be, I really lean towards that. It seems to me that it has the most hope. And, of course, if the miracles that were attributed to this guy are true, I mean, you know, give me a break. I mean, guys who had leprosy? I mean, in the ancient world, even today, I mean, leprosy is just, it's a death sentence. That's it. It's over. And apparently, according to the stories, you know, these lepers were there, and he calls out, and lo and behold, they're healed. I mean, I want to hang with a guy like that. I mean, I really do. You know, I want to.
Yeah, we want to learn.
I mean? Yeah. I mean, the guy sounds really amazing to me. So the prophecies of the first coming apparently were fulfilled. There's a whole bunch of prophecies with the second coming, and that's, you know, if that's the paradigm you believe. And so to me, that's my hope. That's what I'm hoping in, because I don't. You know, you mentioned too that, you know, can we stop this thing, and I wish we could stop it, but it just seems to me that this thing is like a freight train without the brakes, and it's just going to go until this guy is finally revealed, this mystery of lawlessness, this man of sin, this Antichrist is finally revealed, and it's going to be a nasty period.
Every civilization, L.A., has felt that they were in end times. Everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Why would we be so different?
The only thing I could point to would be, if it was 100 years earlier, I wouldn't be saying this. Because Israel, to me, is the timepiece. Israel
the
is the time clock. Israel is the key. Without Israel, nothing starts. You can't tick it down. I mean, we talked about, you know, this mystery God-man, Yeshua, or Jesus, as people call him today. But he says something which is incredibly enigmatic. He talks about Jerusalem being trampled over. He gives a prophecy until the times of the Gentiles are over. And we see that from any student of history will admit immediately that is true, that Jerusalem was never held by the Jews until 1948. It was always trampled over by other nations and the Jews, fulfilling those prophecies. So that kicks in the prophetic time clock, 1965. Even though the nation was born in 48, 65 is when they regained access to the old city. And that, to me, starts the clock ticking.
Okay, in your opinion, then, outline for us this scenario, how it's going to go. what's going to happen?
Well, there's a lot of ways it can come down. I mean, we're looking at Iran, and Iran is the second nation that's mentioned in the Ezekiel 38-39 prophecy. The first one, by the way, I would either point to Turkey or Russia. And because there's a difference of opinion, that's why I give both to you. Some scholars look at it and say, well, it must be Turkey. Others who believe Magog and Gog is synonymous with present-day Russia. The purpose of the conversation, let's say it's a combination of both of them. But the second one is very, very specific. It says Iran. And, of course, you know, 50 years ago, again, look backwards in time, what was Iran? It was nothing. I mean, it was certainly not a world power. Today, this thing, even though it's not maybe a global power, it's in the news every day. And with the likes of Ahmadinejad, you know, with all the saber-rattling against Israel, saying things like, you know, Israel shouldn't be wiped off the map. It shouldn't be there. It should be, you know, dismantled and cast into the sea. It's a dry withered tree, soon to be thrown into the sea, and all the vitriol from him, one can only assume that this is, he's just not saber rattling for fun and games, that he means what he says and says what he means. And I find it interesting, it's the second nation listed in that prophecy. See, what's amazing to me, it's not like, and I keep going back to Nostradamus, where it's so fuzzy and so unclear, it says Iran. It calls it Persia by its ancient name. Iran only became Iran about 60 years ago, I think, in the latter part of the 20th century. But for centuries, it's been known and still is known today as Persia. That's what it is. That whole geographic area is Persia. That's very, very specific. And that's what we see lining up. We see this confederacy of nations lining up against a land of unwalled villages, i.e. Israel. So I think it's the scenario that I see happening is that this war will go up against Israel, and Israel, unfortunately, is going to respond, which fulfills the prophecy of Ezekiel 38, with its nuclear arsenal. It'll have no choice. In other words, they're going to come at them with such a force, a combined force from all sides, that Israel will have no other option. They actually have it's called the Samson option. They actually have it drawn up, and that's what they call it. They call it the Samson option. And what it is that, you know, they've done the research, not so much from a prophetic viewpoint, but from a militaristic viewpoint, where they've looked at all the different scenarios, and they say, well, if this happens, this is what we can do, and they call it the Samson option, and that, of course, is use of their nuclear arsenal against this force. This, I believe, and last time I was on, we talked a little bit about this, will kick off some sort of supernatural event. And I believe this, again, it's a scenario, it's one I believe in after researching this stuff for decades, but I believe that this is the trigger. This is the trigger that will kick off the supernatural events, and of course that is the revealing of the extraterrestrial presence, which will flip everybody's worldview. There's one part of the prophecies which it talks about this, that the Antichrist sets up a one-world government and a one-world religious system.
Which is happening slowly.
It is happening slowly. But 1.2 billion Muslims and 1.5 billion Christians aren't going to flip their worldview.
No.
Unless something really bizarre happens, something that shakes them to the foundation. And of course,
and unites them.
And unites them. And that, to me, is a 3-mile disc covering over L.A. and Paris and London and every place else. You know, your worldview is going to be totally shattered at that point.